Hi, David. Are we... this is Tarek.
Yes, Tarek. We're just about to start. Greetings and welcome, everyone, to our July 30th call with the SOAC, SG, and RALO chairs. This is our first teleconference after our face-to-face meeting in ICANN in Buenos Aires, and I want to thank everyone for joining the call today. The main purpose of the call is in the draft agenda. We'll start out with some remarks from Fadi relating to the work we've been doing on the accountability as well as at ICANN 53. We'll hear from Nick Tommaso on an update of the meeting B strategy, and again, hoping for your inputs. Item four on the agenda, we will talk about Dublin preparations as there are 80 days left before that meeting starts. And we'll have some comments also by Michele. And then we'll have an update on the SOAC activity matrix by Rob Hogarth and any other business that you may want to have. Just again to remind people, we will record and transcribe this meeting unless there are objections for the purpose of note-taking and being able to share the contents at this meeting. So if I... could proceed with the proposed agenda and the way forward, I would like to do that. And with that, if I don't see any objections, I see now Bill Drake is on as well. Welcome, Bill. I would also, and Patrick Ballstrom, thank you. I would like to turn the floor over to Fadi for some remarks. Fadi, please.
Thank you, David. And hello, everyone. It is good to be together shortly after Buenos Aires. I wanted, per the agenda, to give you a little bit of an update from how we see things related to the transition of the IANA stewardship. First and foremost, without question, I start by continuing to deeply thank each and every one of you and members of our community who have just displayed incredible commitment and volunteerism at the highest levels to this process and continue to do so. As I said in Buenos Aires, I think just the display of that is a triumph for our ICANN community, showing the world how we come together and we work hard when the challenge is upon us to actually put together a path forward without the U.S. government. So thank you, please make sure not only my thanks, but you extend your own thanks to our many community members who are not on this call as well, who have dedicated many hours to this process. The recent meeting in Paris proved the same. Just incredible dedication and continued focus and commitment. And I think that the proposal out of the CCWG meeting in Paris will be public at the latest on August 1st, possibly a day or so before that. But this is the plan at the moment. And then we enter into a very important 40-day public comment phase during which I know many of you and many people in the world are going to be prepared to comment on what we're seeing. My assessment personally, if I could at the moment, not because I know more than anyone, but simply because I have a bit of purview on many moving parts, is that the transition from the U.S. government is proceeding right now quite well. As you know, also after I left Buenos Aires, both Larry Strickling and myself were subjected to a questioning in the U.S. Congress during a hearing in the House. And so having seen all of the pieces, I will tell you that right now we are on track to complete the USG transition. I do believe there are three areas of risk that are left, and I'll share them with you. Just again, this is my perspective, and wanted to make sure I share it with you as to what could potentially either delay the transition and therefore put us in a window outside of the window where we are actually having all the players aligned to make it happen, or potentially cause the transition to be really in difficulty, or at least blocked. The first risk lies in the area of governance. If we find ourselves with this proposal or any proposal changing the model of governance of ICANN to a degree that is significant, I think that it will take us a lot more time to understand the details and the implications of it, that this may actually delay the transition for a period of time. I don't think, let's say, governments, to use them as an example, will simply easily agree to move to a new model of governance that includes voting or other mechanisms overnight without proper deep understanding of the details and every possible aspect of this. So we have to be careful as a community. If we decide to change our model of governance on the fly and quickly, we need to have all the details in place of how decisions will be made. And if we don't have that done in time, then I can assure you that there will be parts of our community that will probably say this is very, very uncomfortable. So I think we ought to apply a lot of care in what we decide we need to change when we have certainly also presented to the world the case that ICANN and its model, whilst needing certainly some improvements and better accountability, etc., is a model that is proven for 15 years and is working. So I think some care has to be put into that area, lest we find ourselves with a stalled transition. The second area of risk has to do with the cohesiveness of our larger community. Again, we have convinced many countries that have been skeptical about the multi-stakeholder model that they should come along and work with us on the basis that this community is strong and cohesive. And by community, I don't mean just us, ICANN. I mean the broader operational communities, the ITF, the RIRs, us, all of the parts of us together. We are a cohesive community. So it is very critical that as we go through the months ahead, we remain a cohesive community and we do not upset the delicate balance and the mutual commitments and the common principles of trust and of consensus building and bottom-up approach that have bound us together for so many years. If we appear to be falling apart and fighting over IP and assets and suddenly looking like we're not ready to be left alone, then I think that may cause a big risk for us. And thirdly and lastly, and it's good that I list it last because I used to list it first in my risks when I presented to the board and you and others, we still have a risk in the U.S. Congress. We're not done. That risk has been reduced considerably through very hard work, frankly, by our teams in Washington. But we are still facing some risks. We do have a dot-com act that we can probably live with, but we do also have opponents to it who are agitating as we speak. And there's a particular senator in the U.S. Senate who is raising some big issues for us and is trying in many possible ways to stop the transition from moving forward. So this is not done. It's still a risk. But of the three risks I listed, that's what I would call the external risk. The other two are largely within our, let's say, I wouldn't say control, but at least are within our reach, and I think with careful and wise and good wisdom and some good spirit amongst us, I think we can move forward calmly so that we can finish this. Finally, just in finishing, I just want to tell you that we are as a community being tested here on how we emerge from this transition. I am certain, knowing all of you, that we will emerge stronger, and we will emerge more united, and we will emerge in a way that can serve the world, not any one particular interest or any one party or any one country. This is the intent. This is why we started this transition, to make sure that ICANN is not controlled by any one government or any one party or any particular interest. So let's make sure that we work together in the same spirit that got us to here, so we can finish this together and emerge stronger, even stronger than we have ever been, and be a true example of how multiple stakeholders can come together in good spirit and finish the work we started. So I thank you again for the immense commitment to this, and I look forward to finishing this journey with you. Thank you, David. It's back to you.
Thank you, Fadi. I just would like to see if people have any other comments or questions on the remarks and the areas that Fadi covered. Jonathan Robinson, your hand is up.
Thanks, David. A question for Fadi, I guess. The issue really is whenever you highlight risks, you question, well, what does one do to mitigate those risks? And I suppose if you look at the three different areas that Fadi talked about, that there were two internal and one external, the one, I mean, we are, in to that extent, an internal group, although the risk of cohesion within the larger community is outside of the group, I think, on this call. I mean, so the question is really, any thoughts on how we collectively or how we can help ICANN or... you know, to work at mitigating one or more of those risks. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Are there any other questions before I address at least Jonathan so we can keep the agenda moving forward? If there are other questions about what I shared, then if we could put them on the table, then I can get back to all of them quickly.
Patrick Falstrom has his hand up. Patrick?
Yes, I would like to just add, you mentioned, Fadi, that you were hoping that things were moving forward on August 1st or the day before. Let me say that as a co-chair of the ICG, at least for now, today, it still looks like if we will go open our open consultation at 1100 UTC tomorrow, Friday.
Thank you, Patrick. This is, as always, another bit of good news from your side. Thank you very much. This is very encouraging. And it keeps, frankly, the plan to try and bring things to some closure on submitting the proposal around the Dublin timeframe. So thank you for that. And as I said before, Patrick and others, I think the triumph for us as a community starts by delivering a good proposal. And if we can do that this year in the Dublin timeframe, I think we would have at least shown the world that the challenge that the multi-stakeholder community of ICANN and its sister institutions, the ITF, the RIRs, the challenge that was ahead of us has been met. So that history and anyone who wants to put us in a bad light can never claim that we did not deliver the proposal. And therefore, this is good news. Thank you, Patrick. Jonathan, I think the answer to your question is very broad. And will not, you know, if I answer it fully, or if we all engage in answering it now, I think David Olive will be very upset with me scuttling his agenda. But two points quickly. One is, it may not be a bad idea for this group on this call to potentially meet. I'm throwing here something that I hadn't thought about before, to actually address your question in more detail at some other time. Maybe we need a meeting to just discuss that, to see how we can together work to support the mitigation of these risks and the success of this process. But in terms of a specific answer, I think that what this group, as our community stewards, leaders, however we call ourselves, should do, is to look at those, especially the first two risks I mentioned, and think what are we, what is the necessary set that we need to get done so that we can stay within this very tight timeline ahead of us. That's a good question to ask ourselves. Because, of course, we all started this process by saying, we want to do all these wonderful things. And great, let's do all the wonderful things. But then we have a timeline. We're now already in July, August, and we're supposed to start shutting things and delivering a full proposal around Dublin. And if things are not fully baked, then some parts of this community will not accept them. Now, the good news is this community had the wisdom to create this concept of a work stream too, for example, in the CCWG. And if some things are not fully baked and we don't have all the answers to them, and maybe we should have the wisdom to start saying, what can we and what should we do as a minimum so we can get through this timeline? Now, that doesn't mean we're going to do a half-baked transition. No, we need to do everything necessary, but not more. Not more, because we have very, very tight deadlines. And half-baked solutions are dangerous. If we come up with an idea, but we don't fully flush it and understand its implications, but force it through at the stage, it will cause what I call instability in the system. Instability is problematic both because it breaks one of the key criteria NTIA has asked for, and second, because frankly, it will create gridlock and potential chaos in our model moving forward. So we should be careful, that's all, and we should, this is not to say there are red lines on ideas. There are no red lines on any ideas. As you know, this was all a bottom-up process. Everything was put on the table. But now is the time to actually apply some leadership and some wisdom and some calm to say, we have a timeline, we have some practical things to get done, but we also do not want to cause instability to the system. So I hope this helps a little bit.
Thank you, Fadi. And thank you, Patrick and Jonathan, for raising those points. If there are no other comments to be made, we would move on to the next part of our agenda. Seeing no other hands, I will proceed to do this. Number three on the agenda is an update on meetings B strategy. And with that, we have Nick Tommaso on the line to talk to us a little bit about the follow-up of what we discussed and agreed to in Buenos Aires. Nick, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you, David. Good day, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. Just wanted to take the opportunity to give you an update on the meeting strategy, specifically as it applies to meeting type B, the first of which will be in Latin America next June. We have received agenda input from GNSO and ESSEC, and an indication that we'll be getting something from IPC shortly. As promised in Buenos Aires, we have created a website where all the input to date has been posted, and David's got that up on the screen now, and we will continue to update it as we receive additional input. We're also going to be moving it over to a workspace in the ICANN community, Confluence Wiki, shortly to allow for the development in a more collaborative way. So, again, the request is to send us your thinking on how what your agenda would look like for meeting B, and we will continue to work through the details and hopefully as a team coalesce around a standard way of doing this. Happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Nick. A useful tool indeed, and to see how the various groups are looking at the meetings B structure. I'll open it up for any other comments or questions, and of course we do encourage those who have not yet responded or are thinking about that to please get your the notes in or any comments in so we can put them into this matrix. Seeing no hands up, we thank Nick for reminding us of the need to have further input, as well as creating this useful matrix for tracking and trying to compare as we all together plan for this new approach of a policy-focused meeting in our meeting strategy plan B, if you will, or meetings B. So we thank you for that. Nick, any other comments or things to say?
No, thank you, David. I think we're well on our way now with this new website to be able to collaborate around some sort of standardization for the meeting B agenda. So thank you all for your input, and I look forward to receiving others.
Thank you, Nick. With that, I would like to move on to item four of the agenda, and this was came from a discussion I had with my policy team leaders, who reminded me that as of today, we have about 80 days left before the start of the Dublin meeting, and so we thought it would be appropriate to focus attention here on some of our regular programs there. And also, if I could, turn the floor over to Michaela Nyland, who would want to say a few words. He did provide some interesting remarks in Buenos Aires as we were departing, and we wanted him to share with a larger group. Michaela, are you on? Would you please join us?
Okay. Thanks, David. Michaela, for the record. I'm not 100% sure exactly what. I'm on West Coast US time today at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm hopeless in the morning at the best of times. I've been in a couple of meetings and have been on a lot of email threads with the local hosts. So the preparations for Dublin are going very well, as far as I can tell. They're working on putting together an interesting gala. Hopefully, it will be what they're planning in some shape or form. If not, it will be something close to it, which would be still very, very good. For those of you who've never been to Dublin before at time of year, the weather is probably going to be quite chilly, but not miserably freezing. So we do recommend that you bring wet gear because it is Ireland, which means it does rain pretty much every single day. I'm hearing from some people that the hotels on the main list on the ICANN site are filling up or have filled up pretty well. But there are still plenty of other hotels around Dublin. If people need any pointers for finding hotels or anything like that, just that myself or any of the other Irish people you know. For getting around the city, there's ample taxis. Everybody uses Halo. People have been asking me about Uber. Yes, it does exist, but there aren't that many drivers in Dublin. A couple of other bits and bobs I mentioned in Buenos Aires. David, were there any other specific things? I honestly can't remember.
I think the one main issue, Michaela, on some people's minds would be the issue of visas for entry of participants.
Oh yes, sorry. The Irish government is quite actively engaged around the organisation of this meeting. It's been, for those of you who were in Buenos Aires, our ambassador spoke on the Thursday, and we spoke to him, and we spoke speaking to the Irish CAF rep as well. Essentially, if you have to go to Dublin and need to get a visa, key thing is make sure that they apply early. If they apply early, they shouldn't have any issues. If they do have issues, to reach out to the local host, and if people need to know who to talk to, well, you know what to find me, because I can put you in touch with the right people. But the key thing is if they need to apply for a visa, make sure they apply for it as quickly as possible. Don't leave it until like a week or 2 weeks in advance, because that's where the problems can arise. But if they apply in a timely fashion, it should be something that the hosts are very, very conscious of as well, have been speaking to the Irish government about it.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Michele. And, of course, our constituency travel and meetings team and others will be also working to make sure that the arrangements and visas are done smoothly, so there are not any problems, or to minimize at least the problems that may come up. So we thank you for that. Does anyone have any other comments or questions for Michele? If not, I would go on to just the other practical elements as we prepare for the ICANN meeting in Dublin. Thanks, Michele, for giving us your views on this and for sharing some of the preparation and plans that you're involved with going forward, and we would obviously look to hear from you more about the updates on things. So thank you. This, of course, turns to two of the important events that we hold at an ICANN meeting. And the first one is, again, to ask for the views of the leaders here on the call on the SOAC high-interest topic for the Monday session. Are we still interested in proceeding on that? And if so, we will be sending messages out to try to refine what topic or topics you would want to put on that Monday session. But I would just first like to hear if we should go forward with that. We know the Dublin meeting will also have a packed agenda dealing with the accountability and transition issues among our regular work. But I just wanted to make sure that we had an early alert to you about this Monday session and how best to use it at ICANN in Dublin. In generally, I think we found this to be a useful mechanism, even though we are sometimes experimenting with the format. In this particular case, we're going to also utilize Rob Hogarth as our facilitator for the Monday session if we all agree to move forward on that. And I think there's a general consensus at the moment to do that. I'll follow up with notes to refine the topics then after that. The second element, of course, of this is the Friday before the ICANN meeting starts. We normally have our workshop in the late afternoon followed by a dinner, and this has been a very useful exchange both for some of the work streams that we're doing for updates, but now more importantly, strategic and other discussions of what will be happening at the ICANN meeting as it is in Dublin. So with that, we want to put that on the table as well so that we can begin the planning for that. And again, to have your views, if you have any to share at the moment, on the continuation of this Friday workshop with the leaders and the global leaders as well. I think this has been a useful session, and I know I'd like to see a continuation of that. I seem to have a very agreeable group here, and with that, I will proceed to start the planning for that afternoon session workshop, followed by the dinner. Jonathan Robinson, please.
Yeah, David, very briefly. I mean, we often compliment each other and say this session was useful, that session was useful, but those Friday sessions are a very helpful, more than usual. They are very good at orienting everyone, getting a share of concerns and issues, and a frank exchange of viewpoints. So, you know, I think just to make it clear, they are very useful, and you know, I for one would recommend we continue to work with them. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan, and I think others would share that view and agree, and with that, I will work with my team to make sure we have the timing, sending out save the dates and reminders and the right program for that, and I'll be in consultation with many of you on that for the agenda as well. Bill Drake asked, curious about the feedback on the high-interest session that took place. I suspect, Bill, you mean in Buenos Aires. That's, I think that's correct. The first point would be, Jonathan, do you have your hand still up? Did you want to comment? Or, as Bill points out more generally, whether or not this is a good vehicle or a good opportunity for the leaders here to select those topics and have a discussion on the Monday. We are always challenged by, again, the way to kind of divide or share the podium. It's kind of hard to orchestrate a discussion when there are a lot of people on the stage, and we try to do it with panels and with other ways, and we will look to try to address that. Bill Drake comments that he's sometimes having trouble finding people saying that it's useful or compelling in an agenda space, and that is, of course, related to the topic at the time. And he's not in a place to call in. Well, we can surely, any other comments on that? Again, it is an option we have on Monday for the roughly 90-minute session. And on occasion, we have deferred because of other agendas not to have it there and then, again, restart that process. I'm sure we can always have that flexibility to do that if, indeed, either the agenda gets so crowded for Dublin or we're waiting for a more compelling or interesting topic to focus on. Some people are typing in the chat as well. Michele, thank you for that idea. He would like suggested we should probably put that on the list and further discuss that through email exchanges. And I think that's a good suggestion, and we can further refine our views on how best to move forward. I just wanted to quickly mention it to you today as the 80-day mark, so that we have plenty of time to decide one and to prepare for it. With that, I will do that and make sure I start a discussion topic on that point in the next week, so we can comment further. Again, a comment by Michele that the transition may indeed, transition discussions may indeed take a lot of time and efforts, and that is, of course, an important element we have to focus on in Dublin as well. Very good. We thank you for your comments on this chat, and we will continue this discussion beginning next week. I'll send a note around on the advisability of taking advantage of the SOAC High Interest Topics session on a Monday, and I will also then begin planning on the Friday workshop and dinner that we normally hold at the ICANN meeting. So that's a discussion to be continued, but thank you for allowing me to raise it and alert you to the need to focus on this in the coming weeks. If there are any questions more on the Dublin preparations, either meetings, I thank Michele for providing some of the insights with the organizers, including remarks on the way to address some of the visa challenges we may have and trying to mitigate those, as well as the sessions we have planned possibly for Monday and definitely for our workshop on the Friday before. Seeing no other comments, I would like to move to number five on the agenda, a status update on the SOAC activities matrix. We talked a little bit about this in Buenos Aires, and I would like to turn the floor over to Rob Hogarth for some more information. Rob?
Thanks, David. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, indeed.
Great. I know you haven't given me 22 minutes of the agenda to talk about this, so I will keep it brief, but I hope detailed. I appreciate the opportunity to give you all an update. We did report to you all in Buenos Aires that we had embarked on an effort to improve the depth and breadth of the activity information that we were collecting with an eye, and we specifically mentioned Eurofeek, toward improving the capability for everybody to have the necessary information, one, to slice and dice data, and two, to have some productive prioritization discussions. And the feedback that I was flagging for all of you in Buenos Aires was that we were trying to look at other mechanisms or formats for data manipulation, if you will, to help us be able to slice and dice that information so that you could have those prioritization discussions. As you know, you all had expressed great satisfaction with the fact that we were now collecting overall activity and information at a relatively high level from all the communities. And, you know, the major emphasis at that point was to improve the display of the material. Well, frankly, this effort has forced us to really go back and make a candid assessment of what information we're really collecting. Because when you get down to it, we were collecting some very basic information. I think in the past, Patrick has observed that it's been useful from an information perspective. But when we actually started to talk about, well, with the next step being prioritization, what sort of information would you all need to actually make prioritization decisions? And so, again, that caused us to look a little bit more specifically at what we were asking from your staff liaisons in terms of information and trying to figure out the best mechanism for collecting that in an efficient manner. So since Buenos Aires, we've been working to develop a template data collection tool that expands the detail, one, of the information we collect, and two, gives us options to dial it up for more information or dial it down for less information in the future based upon what we learn in the next couple of snapshots. So for our next snapshot, we're going to be using a new data collection template that is wiki-based, based on the community wiki. The template is going to be used as part of our, you know, continuous learning experience here to collect information from the SOAC staff liaisons, and we've been having some dialogue with the various team leaders in David's department to help us be set up to collect that information and make it efficient for Benedetta and I to then, you know, put it into a format that you can all absorb. We're also going to make, for this snapshot, the template available, and this harkens back to Elisa's original request, to the RALO stakeholder group and constituency leaders for those communities to contribute their information as well. So you'll all have basically a direct opportunity to see all the data elements. And even if at this stage a particular community isn't prepared to submit a template for the latest snapshot, I hope we'll be able to get feedback from everybody in terms of how to adjust the data collection elements, get some feedback in terms of how much time it takes to collect the data and provide the information. So it'll be a constant learning experience for us from a staff perspective in putting this together. Now, you might ask, well, what information are you looking to expand? We're going to be looking to include both the start date and the planned end dates of all the active projects to give us an idea about timing, how long something's been going on, how long something is anticipated to be taking. We're going to ask for a designation of high, medium, or low priority, and we might be able to change that dial as well into additional gradations beyond those three. But that should help people understand how individual communities are prioritizing their work internally. And we're also going to try to figure out a way to collect information about the degree of community participation in all activities. Examples of that might be the number of participants on a working group or involved in a particular activity, or, and this is maybe a bridge too far at the moment, but the number of hours dedicated to a particular effort. Why? Because, again, we're interested in understanding how much time from a community and staff perspective is being devoted to a particular activity. And if we're doing our job right in terms of the reporting elements, we'll be able to measure that and potentially compare different activities or combine information from different communities and be able to provide overall information about how many hours are being devoted or have been devoted to a particular activity. Frankly, and this was something that came from some of the really neat graphics that Fadi has used at recent CEO reports that he offers to the community, where there's some really neat graphics that tell a bigger story about the amount of resources or time that's being devoted to something. So the hope is that we will have a final working version of the template ready either late next week or early the following week. We're going to give folks about 2.5 or 3 weeks, recognizing that it is vacation season and that it may take a little bit extra time to work through the first couple of templates that get filled out for everybody to provide their contributions. And then what we hope to do is, at the very latest, have another snapshot for you all to see prior to your September meeting. We'd like to be able to crank that through faster, but if we're getting the final data input from folks by the end of this coming month, then it may take, you know, a couple of weeks for us to really do a good job of displaying it visually. We think the wiki offers a really good opportunity for us to filter and frame reports, and so that's the methodology that we're going to use for this snapshot. In the meantime, I hope, David, we'll be able to get the prioritization subgroup back together to discuss the potential category consolidation efforts that the group discussed prior to Buenos Aires and that we've mentioned on some past calls, so that would be very helpful and a nice sort of dovetailing with this tool work. And that's really where we are. I think we're, from a staff perspective, very encouraged that Rafiq and others sort of pushed us in this direction. I think it's going to result in some richer data elements, give you all really some substantive stuff to chew on when it comes to talking about prioritization, giving you opportunities to really assess and compare potentially different types of activities to allow you to make some judgment about how things get ordered or prioritized. David, I'm happy to take any questions, but otherwise that's the update. Thanks.
Thank you, Rob, and also we appreciated the comments in Buenos Aires about the user-friendly nature of the format, and that's why the moving to the wiki should be helpful, as well as refinements of the data that will make it more useful to you as leaders in looking at the workload that you have, how best to prioritize it, and to be able to have a view across the SOs and ACs on their similar work areas and work priorities. So thank you, Rob, for that update. Any other comments from our group here on that? Okay, very good. Thank you, Rob, again. I'll now move to item 6 on the agenda, any other business. This is a chance and an opportunity for people to share or raise issues of concern for us or to be aware of, or any other comments you'd like to make while this group is here for the remaining few minutes. Alberto, please. I recognize Alberto. You have the floor.
Alberto Soto speaking. My apologies, but I am not feeling well today. And luckily, this cannot go over the internet. Two comments. Regarding Fadi's remarks, I was thinking that in the different working groups, we are focusing on the IANA transition, so we should analyze all the points being addressed. For example, we are devoting a lot of time to the issue of the IANA.com domain. Who would be the domain holder? Now ICANN is the domain holder. Well, in my view, regardless of how the IANA functions end up, it is my understanding that it is not necessary to transfer the domain right now. Maybe we can delay that point. This is my view, and maybe other groups have similar points of things that can be postponed so as not to run the risk or to avoid the risks that Fadi mentioned. And regarding the last point, in La Crallo right now, we are working on a motion so as to devote 30 minutes on in all our meetings to really substantial or substantive issues. This is what we are doing within ALAC. So this matrix is going to be really useful to prioritize our work. Thank you.
Thank you, Alberto, and I am sorry you're not feeling well, but the health prevention of the Internet will keep it limited. But thank you for your two comments, and in particular to the first comment about the governance risk that Fadi mentioned and how one should look at or prioritize as to possible ways of staging or postponing some of the ideas as we move forward, and that in La Crallo, as you prioritize your topics of discussion, the activity matrix is of help to you, and we appreciate those two comments. Thank you very much. Any other comments? Seeing none, I would just like to quickly provide a summary. We thank Fadi for sharing his views on three areas of risk. One is a governance risk. Two is the cohesiveness of our larger community. Three is still a reduced but nevertheless existing risk in the U.S. Congress. We also note that Patrick is talking about the progress in his ICG group, and Jonathan raised the issue of what more could be done to help mitigate those three risks. We heard a little bit also from Alberto on some of his ideas. Fadi did mention possibly what is necessary, what are the necessary things to do to keep the timeline in place, and a consideration or some thoughts of a meeting to be able to talk about and see how best to mitigate the risks that were mentioned. In the meetings B strategy, again, Nick told us about the need for further inputs and a useful tool to compare those inputs from the various groups coming in. And we thank the GNSO, the ESAC, and soon the IPC and others for their comments on that area. And finally, fourth, rather, was the preparation for Dublin with 80 days left and counting. McKaylee talked about his involvement with the organizers, as well as the addressing of the challenges of the visas. We look to continue exploring having a high-interest topic on Monday, but further discussions are needed, and I'll start that next week in an email exchange. And there was agreement that we should continue our Friday afternoon workshop between community leaders and the global leaders, as well as the dinner as well. And I will start preparations on that immediately. And finally, we heard from Rob Hogarth on the activity matrix of the SONACs, the more user-friendly tool, and some refinements to that to help you in identifying and planning the work of your various communities. With that, I thank you, and listening also to your requests, I will provide just the link to the SOAC page where you can find the documents related to this meeting and other meetings, so it's an easy one-stop reference for you rather than having to download a lot of other documents. And with
David, please. If you could also, if I could remind all the folks on the call that we hold the quarterly stakeholder call on August 20th in 20 days. This is an extremely important call that we have now instituted on a quarterly basis to keep everyone abreast of our operational and other progress areas. It is, I hope it's a good resource for you, but also for many people in your communities and your stakeholder groups. So do please pass the information to all of them to participate and to listen to that call. It takes, frankly, quite a bit of effort on our part to prepare for these calls, to make sure the materials are detailed, factual reports on how we're progressing on every area of our work. Again, the call is on August 20th this quarter, and all the details on that call and the other dashboards that will be released also in August that I announced at the opening of Buenos Aires are available at icann.org/progress. So I invite you all to be there. Also, some of you may not be privy to the details of the gala in Dublin, but I'm discussing these with Michele. The idea now from the Irish is to hold the gala pretty much from Monday to Thursday, and then there will be some room for meetings on Wednesday night. I think that's what they have in mind. I hope you won't miss that. Right. Have a wonderful rest of your summer or winter, whatever you are. Thank you.
Thank you, Fadi, and I'll make sure we send notices and reminders to the community leaders on the August 20th stakeholder quarterly stakeholder call. We also have our call regularly scheduled for the month on the 20th, just about an hour before that call. And I'll remind people maybe we want to not hold our call and just focus on the quarterly stakeholder call as a listening and engagement activity. But I'll get back to you on that. So thank you very much for your time and attention. Fadi, thank you for your comments. And other ICANN colleagues, thank you for joining this meeting. I wish everyone a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, wherever you may be. Talk to you soon next week.